Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome everyone to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
That was different.
A little different.
You mixing it up every week. Yeah.
Having a little cup of coffee with this one.
Oh, maybe up till what? Like 2 o'clock in the morning? Drinking
probably.
It that late?
Feeling a little crazy. Feeling a little wacky, Matt. A little wacky.
Rough day?
No, just a long one. Just a long day. Woke up a little earlier than normal.
And starting to catch up. Like 9?
No, I was up at 8. Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
Up and at 'em. At 8. Before we talk
when
about
do your
my
kids wake up?
Wait, before we talk about me and my family's sleeping habits, we should let everybody know we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
My son is usually up about, I would guess, between 7 and 8. Like every time I wake up, he's always there somewhere in the house. My daughter usually wakes up about 8 to 9, and that's usually when my wife and I wake up between 8 and 9, like consistently.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Luckies. My kids are up at 6.
But you put your kids to bed at like 4 in the afternoon.
7:30 is bedtime.
Right. When the sun's still up, you put your kids to bed.
Not in Iowa. The sun is down by 7:30.
See, my kids don't sleep. Like my son doesn't go to sleep until he's about 10:30. My daughter doesn't go to sleep until about between 9:30. We're those parents.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, we usually give them like a couple of pixie sticks, a bottle of Mountain Dew before bed. A
cup of coffee and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do.
It's been rough for me this week.
Why's that?
The baby has been, so usually goes, we put him down at 7. He eats every 4 hours. So, but the wife read some sleep training book and he was sleeping from 7 until about 2:30, 3 o'clock, waking up to feed and then sleeping from 3 to 6:30. And the last three nights he's been up at 10, 11:30, 12:45.
Is it too late to just take the kid back?
No, I like him. I like him a lot. But we think he's getting a tooth. 4 months old, no. About that time. Yeah. Yeah, so that's been my week. But I thought of this today. I don't know if we're still doing family stories or whatnot. But
sure, Matt, let's do it.
But Kaisley came up with another knock-knock joke.
Oh.
And she's kind of being fed them. I figured out that mom's feeding her knock-knock jokes. But today's knock-knock joke was knock-knock.
Who's there?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears who?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Oops, I did it again.
Oh, no.
My 3-year-old daughter told me that one.
Oh, I fell for it, too.
Oh, it was cute.
Damn.
So, yeah, feel free to use that one.
I will.
At your next realtor meeting.
Yeah, that will be a hit. An absolute hit. A banger. That's what the kids are saying. Be a banger.
Bodied? Bodied? You bodied? Will body that
joke? You like that? Speaking of bodied... Congratulations on the Twitter fame.
Thank you.
This is the first time we've actually like had a celebrity on the show.
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
Well, I mean, my goodness.
I'm not a celebrity. That was
no. Oh, you're too modest.
No, that was I'm telling you, that was 6 months of coming. Like you don't post something like that in June after a draft and not think that everybody in your entire division is coming at you when they beat you.
For those of you who are unfamiliar and you don't follow at Dynasty Dads on Twitter. You should definitely check it out. Matt had a viral video this week where he was essentially responding to another person in SFL, right? The Scott Fish League.
SFB.
I'm sorry, Scott Fishbowl. Excuse me. The Scott Fishbowl. Yeah. I haven't had my full cup of coffee yet. Who posted a video of himself months ago talking smack to everybody in the division. And Renshaw being Renshaw, it's just sat on it.
I did. I slow played it. It was a slow play.
and posted a nice viral video. So you should check that out. Oh, again, that's at Dynasty Dads. Gosh. It's been retweeted by numerous people. How many views was that at?
Last time I checked, it was a little over 18,000.
18,000 views.
Yeah, it was good.
Almost as many listeners as we have to this podcast.
Almost. So we have a division. Like most of anybody that's been in the Scott Fishbowl knows, you know, most of the time your division gets in a group chat and you talk it out, you know, whatever, get to know people. I think that's what Scott Fish started the whole Scott Fishbowl was to like bring people together and build a community. And that's not Mr. Matthew Kelly's MO. Never joined, never responded to anybody's stuff. Like, hey man, come join, like whatever. Was too good for us, which is fine. You know, every division needs a bad guy. And
shots fired.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's a great guy. And I from what I can tell, it's just a shtick. But, man, you do that in June, and you're getting a lot of shots back at you in October. And I'm not the first one to do it. I just am the most recent one to do it.
Has he responded to you?
Of course not. No, he won't.
Ooh.
He won't. What can you respond? Dude, you got beat by...
I feel like this is the fantasy equivalent to like a rap beef.
You got beat by over 100 points. You started a guy that didn't...
Like, are you 50 Cent here and he's Ja Rule? Is that what this is?
I don't know. I've probably taken 9 shots before.
Oh, my.
He started Melvin Gordon. Like, that's the thing that blew me away the most in this whole situation. Like, whatever, it's Scott Fishbowl, scoring's funny, you'll have bad weeks where you put up nothing. He started Melvin Gordon, who it was announced on Saturday that Melvin Gordon wasn't going to travel with the team. You're the Broncos fan here, you know that.
Like, so you're Jay-Z and he's Nas.
I don't know who Nas. I know who Jay-Z is. Who's Nas?
Stop it. Why do you do this to me whenever we bring up music?
No, I know Nas.
Okay. We spent way too much time on this video. I'm not
so anyway, lie. No, yeah, yeah. So that it is what it is. It's all in good fun. I'm not taking any personal shots at anybody.
You should.
No, it's not.
You need to take
style.
It to the next level. If he's not responding to you, he's essentially telling you you're too small. So now you need to up the game. Talk about his mother or something.
I'm not going
to
do that.
Why don't you take the time on this show right now just to say something about his wife? Go ahead. Open floor.
No, not going to do it. Taking the high ground. I'll be the nice guy. Everybody saw the video. It's good. It served its purpose.
I'm sure his mother's a hoe.
I'm 5-1 in Scott Fishbowl.
There you go. And his mom a hoe.
No, not saying it. Not doing it.
I'll say it.
He can come after you.
That's fine. You'll have to find me on Twitter first. Pretty
open
low
invitation.
On that list.
Open invitation, Matthew. Mm. If you want to come on the podcast, come on.
You can probably find a spot on any of the other podcasts on DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start
and
calculating.
Their network. Matt, you know, I didn't really have a family story anyways. You took plenty of time. So I think we should just get right into the news and notes. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
What are you going to start with? There's so much.
Well, we have a bit of injury woes for the Eagles this week. Zach Ertz is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks. Ertz's high ankle sprain opens the door wide open for Dallas Goedert, who was expected to be back in action Thursday. Now, Miles Sanders has already been ruled out for week 7 against the Giants, and Sanders was never expected to play. And, well, really, he's looking at probably 1 to 2 weeks for a timetable return from his knee injury. So we're looking at Boston Scott to start on Thursday Night Football with Corey Clement probably mixing in as the number 2 back. Now, with the Eagles playing on Thursday night, Sanders has a few extra days to get ready for week 8, but it is possible Philly holds out Sanders through their week 9 bye. I'm not expecting to see Miles Sanders for a couple of weeks. How about you?
I'd say he's got 2-3 weeks off. Mm-hmm. Are you buying Boston Scott?
No.
No. We've God, seen this. No. I'm not falling for this again. We saw this, what, week 2? Week 1, week 2?
I don't see anybody being that desperate to where you have to start Boston Scott or Corey Clement this week. Especially on Thursday night football.
Yeah, I was going to say, on a Thursday, like, if you're desperate, I guess, but remember when people used to avoid Thursday night games?
Oh, Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that long ago. Yeah. This year's been different. There's been some pretty good games on Thursday nights, but I'm not touching it. No thanks. I'd rather roll with Frank Gore than these guys.
Hmm. Well, you know, another Eagle we have to talk about, Travis Fulgham, probably.
Your boy.
Caught 6 of 10 targets for 75 yards and a touchdown, Matthew.
Somebody mentioned him last week on Renegades. I don't remember who might have said that.
Carson Wentz apparently trusts this dude. He's thrown several 50-50 balls to him. Like, that's the whole offense right now, is just throwing these balls up in the air and hoping that Travis Fulgham, of all people, comes down with it. Fulgham's week 6 touchdown was a jump ball against 2 defenders. He now has 16 catches for 227 yards and 2 scores over just the past 2 weeks. He's tied Zach Ertz for most targets among Eagles pass catchers against Baltimore. That was just this last week's game. I'm sorry. I don't care if it's a Thursday night, a Sunday night, a Monday night, hell, a Tuesday night. Fulgham is in your lineup now. He has to be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, because the Eagles are – I mean, that whole division's bad, but they're gonna fall behind. They're going to need to throw the ball to catch up. And they came back with the Ravens. Like, they were a two-point conversion away from a tie ball game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Fulgham and Jalen Reagor's coming back. That offense is kind of heading in the right direction. I know there's rumbles that Jalen Hurts could be the starter soon. Stop that.
You're not in on that, huh?
No. They're paying Carson Wentz a ton of money. Now, they may get him in on gadget plays, but he's not going to be the guy.
He took a couple of snaps. He took 2 snaps at quarterback this last week.
Yeah, Taysom Hill did too. Are we gonna?
I think people are a little nervous because head coach Doug Peterson came out and said that he could see things continuing, in talking about the increase in Jalen Hurts' role in the offense. I don't think anybody's worried about him taking over as the starting quarterback, but I do think the more
are you
that
ever
he's
gonna
involved,
start Hurts?
No. But what it does is it does hurt those people that are starting Carson Wentz, does it not? I mean, those are 2 less snaps for Carson Wentz. It might be more.
Saving Carson Wentz, though. Those are 2 less snaps that he doesn't have to throw an interception or take a big hit.
Well, by all means.
Think about it from that perspective.
Speaking Wednesday, Coach Andy Reid said he wasn't sure if Le'Veon Bell will even be active for Week 7 against the Broncos. It would be good news for Clyde Edwards-Helaire's fantasy prospects with the Chiefs as a heavy 10.5-point road favorite. CEH is coming off of a 161-yard rushing effort against the Buffalo Bills. Reid said Bell's Week 7 status will all depend on how comfortable he is with the playbook. Matt, Le'Veon Bell has been a hot topic in fantasy circles all week this week. Are you expecting to see him play this week at all?
I think he'll play. I think he'll take passing down snaps away from CEH, but CEH looked like he had some motivation running running against them Bills. So, yeah, no one thought like his role. I know some people went out and bought Bell and, oh my gosh, he's the RB1. But did they forget that when the Chiefs drafted Clyde, that there was another running back there that they were going to split carries with? I think Bell just comes in and takes that. He's a talented guy. He's ring chasing, which he picked the right team to ring chase with. But he's a startable guy. He's a flex play. I'm starting him where I've got him in a couple places. But it's because with all the buys going on right now, I'm kind of – I need him to play and get a couple points for me.
Let's talk about a little like 2020 and beyond then with Le'Veon Bell. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Le'Veon Bell is on a 1-year tender, right?
Yeah.
He's a free agent after the season. He's a young dude still. He's a very talented guy, we assume. We haven't really seen it. What is
he left Adam Gase, so like that's a positive. that seems to get guys going.
I'm just curious in how you value him moving forward. I know he's on a great team.
How I value Bell?
Yeah.
Like
if we had to draft today. Let's say we had to draft today. We're doing a startup draft. Where's Le'Veon Bell going?
He's probably RB 15 to 20. Right? I mean,
Seems strong, but I don't disagree with it.
He's going to be – I don't think he re-signs. Maybe he re-signs with the Chiefs, but I imagine he'll look for another team where he could start. The incoming rookie running back class has got quite a few names on it. Seems like the NFL is going towards running backs don't matter, like Justin has said for years.
Thank you.
Yeah, so where's he going to go where he's going to be the guy? You know, everyone liked to throw out Tampa, but Rojo looks solid down there. The Jets could use a running back right now, but I can't imagine Lev Bell going there. The Bills, I thought he might end up in New England and just muddy that backfield up even more. Somebody that signs him, though. Somebody's going to sign him, and he'll produce. But if he stays with the Chiefs long term, what's his upside? Flex, maybe. But Kareem Hunt is having – I mean, he was a RB – high-end RB2 when Nick Chubb was healthy. So
right.
It's possible if there's teams out there that can commit to the run and commit to giving guys touches. But with the – where you don't know – he's the unknown, you don't know where he's going to be, it's hard to put a price tag. I'd trade a late second, but I don't imagine the Bell owner would trade Bell for that right now.
No, I don't either. You gotta wait and see. Gotta wait and see. I think it might be time for Fantasy Governors to carry on, Matthew. Kerryon Johnson rushed 4 times for just 9 yards in the Lions' Week 6 win over the Jags, adding an 11-yard reception. Johnson has now failed to eclipse 5 touches in just 3 straight games. Now, meanwhile, rookie DeAndre Swift emerged for 17 touches behind Adrian Peterson's 16 in Jacksonville. Swift looks like he is the hot hand. Looks to be the guy finally stepping forward here. Kerryon Johnson, my brother, what happened?
Was he ever really that good?
He looked good. He just couldn't stay healthy. We've talked about it before. Best ability is availability. He can't stay healthy. And now that he is staying healthy, he's not even getting 5 touches a game.
Well, that's because Adrian Peterson's there. Hall of Famer Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, just sad.
No, Swift took that. That's Swift's backfield now.
Oh, 100%. He took that swiftly.
Not your best, but.
No, it wasn't my best work. It wasn't. The Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan probably confirmed in a Twitter post that he tore his ACL during the Titans Week 6 win over Houston. It's a big loss for Tennessee the Tennessee offense. Ty Samriolo, probably.
Probably.
Who replaced Lewan on Sunday against the Texans was immediately beaten for a sack fumble. Lewan pledged to return from the knee injury, though it's hard to say if he'll be ready for training camp next August. Lewan, according to guys that know more than I do about offensive line, is a pretty key contributor to that offense. We know left tackle is one of the most important positions on the field on offense. And for such a, I was going to say heavy run game, but it hasn't really been that this year. I don't know. It just seems like kind of something that your Derrick Henry governors, your Ryan Tannehill governors should probably take note of.
Yeah, it sucks. But do you not see – like, I see the Titans making a move. Like, I think the trade deadline will be pretty active this year, the actual NFL trade deadline. And there's teams out there that have linemen. Blocking schemes are usually pretty similar. You could pick up a replacement – level left tackle that won't give up a sack fumble on the first play of the game or their first play of the game.
Okay. All right. Speaking of Titans, AJ Brown caught 5 of 7 targets for 57 yards and a pair of touchdowns in the Titans Week 6 win over the Texans. Brown has now caught 12 passes for 139 yards and 3 touchdowns in 6 days after previously not playing since week 1 because of a knee injury and then the Titans coronavirus outbreak. His scores went for 6 and 7 yards, with the second coming with just 4 seconds remaining in regulation. The 7 looks were still a somewhat disappointing total, with Corey Davis on the COVID-19 list and Jonnu Smith departing early with an ankle issue. But the Titans are clearly trying to be proactive in getting Brown the ball. Week 7, Titans play the Steelers in a battle of the undefeated teams.
That is going to be such a good game.
AJ Brown, I mean, absolutely a guy to own. on the Titan squad.
Probably the only wide receiver. Johnny Smith, yeah, but like wide receiver wise, AJ Brown is. I'm not a big Corey Davis fan. I know he's having like his seventh year breakout that like Devontae Parker in Miami did. What are you giving up for AJ Brown right now?
See, that's the thing. Is there so many wide receivers out there right now that are absolutely producing?
Why did Ole Miss suck? I'm serious. AJ Brown and DK Metcalf. You gotta be kidding me.
Dude, DK Metcalf was a specimen.
They both were.
Don't even get me started on DK Metcalf. Don't do this, Matt. We'll be here for hours talking about DK Metcalf.
We can talk about DK Metcalf when you bring up Antonio Brown.
Oh my God. That was something that's kind of breaking today. We have this news that Antonio Brown is fairly likely to end up getting picked up by the Seahawks.
There's by other somebody. Teams that are interested Seahawks too. Want him number one, but Seahawks, somebody's going to pick
the
him
Seahawks
up.
The Seahawks are the front runners. Reportedly.
Could you imagine? Seattle letting Russ cook with AB and DK and
see,
TL.
Here's my problem. You have this offense that's absolutely running on – it's firing on all cylinders. The Seahawks offense is electric right now, especially through the air. And now you want to add a guy like Antonio Brown to it? No, thank you. No, thank you. Not
Who are
interested.
You? You don't want to add a guy like Antonio Brown?
Your team is fine. Your team's fine. You're a contender. You're a Super Bowl contender in the NFC.
You are chasing the Chiefs. That's what you're chasing. That's the offense that you're chasing.
I don't think you need him. I really don't. I don't think you need it. It's not worth the risk.
It's the ultimate like luxury play. Did the Chiefs need Le'Veon Bell? No, but they got him. It's the same. How is it?
Antonio, are you kidding me? We are not that far removed from the absolute circus Antonio Brown caused.
You mean Le'Veon Bell who sat out a year because he didn't get a contract?
But he sat out a year. Like, he sat out a year. That was different. Antonio Brown is making all these headlines, causing all this problem.
There's more legal trouble with Le'Veon Bell than there is with Lev Bell. Yes, I will give you legal issues. But from a add talent to your Super Bowl contender team standpoint that you don't actually need, but you can add it, same, different position, but same general idea. Do you disagree?
Man. I don't know. I'm just saying. How many chances do we see Josh Gordon get?
A ton in Seattle.
Right? And when he came back, all those times he came back.
Yes.
How good was he?
He had a good game or two.
Good game or two. I'm just saying.
Antonio Brown sat out half of a year. Mm-hmm. Josh Gordon sat out years, multiple. Antonio Brown's been out half of one. Probably one when the suspension's up.
From a management standpoint, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't see why you'd be so interested in getting Antonio Brown on your roster.
If he's awful, you cut him.
You're risking screwing up everything that you guys got going right now. You're one of the – are they not like the top offense in the NFC right now? Am I like mistakenly thinking they're like the best offense in the NFC?
No, they that sounds right. But like,
what are you doing?
What negative do you have? Let's be honest, this is probably Antonio Brown's last shot. He'll be on his best behavior, and if he's not, see ya. Go play in the CFL. Like, he'll be gone. And you tell that coming in. Look, man, we need you on your best behavior. We're gonna cut you. We don't need you. Look at what we're doing without you. But man, would it be nice if we had you?
I get that point of view. I really do.
Okay.
I'm the if it's not broke, why fix it kind of guy.
What other teams are probably interested in him? Because I'm thinking Philly.
If he's this talented wide receiver that you're making him out to still be, I think every team would love to have him.
He played one game with the Patriots and scored a touchdown. Tom Brady.
Oh. Oh my, let's fall over ourselves.
I'm just saying. Caught
a touchdown pass from Tom Brady.
I mean, who hasn't done that?
Oh, shit. God. Sign him to a 7-year deal.
So if the Broncos signed him, you wouldn't be happy?
Oh, I'd be fucking ecstatic.
Okay.
It's a whole different thing. The Broncos offense has nothing to lose right now.
Neither does Seattle.
Yes, they do. They have a ton to lose. They have one of the best offenses.
And they're going to add an amazing playmaker to it. How does that have anything? What does that cost you?
Maybe.
You just said, oh, they're the favorites to get him.
I said maybe as in him still being one of the best wide receivers.
And if he's not, he's the wide receiver 3 on the team anyway. He's behind Lockett, and you put him at tight end. Whatever. He's behind Lockett and DK, so.
He better not mess with most, my boy DK, I tell you that much. DK will knock him in the mouth.
Talented wide receiver Dropkick 3 in the mother. NFL. Well,
I wouldn't mess with DK Metcalf, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
By the way, Gus Edwards, Raven, running back. He rushed for 14 times. That's
the
one times.
That does the folk dancing?
No, stop it. That's Alex Collins, and you know it. Gus Edwards.
I remember you making a big deal about that.
That's cool, man. Gus Edwards rushed 14 times for 26 yards and a touchdown in the Ravens' Week 6 win against the Eagles. J.K. Dobbins rushed 9 times for 28 yards, adding 2 catches for 1 yard. With Mark Ingram sidelined with an ankle injury, Edwards functioned as the team's lead back. Scary. Absolutely scary. It didn't lead to a whole lot. They got a bye week this week. Hopefully Ingram can get healthy. It's looking pretty 50-50. My God. There's not really much to talk about until we know what Edwards' situation is going to be heading into their game after the bye week, but just something to note.
Are you picking him up?
No.
Or wait, let's back up. You probably already own him anywhere, but if you were available.
I'm honestly in the like 9 leagues I have, I'm pretty confident I own him in at least 3 or 4.
Oh my goodness. I'm not picking him up.
One of my hot takes was J.K. Dobbins not going to be the RB3, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. He's going to be RB3 or worse in Baltimore.
Isn't he RB1 right now?
By a very, very small margin.
Right, but if Ingram's out for a long period of time.
He's not going to be out for a long period of time. Oh. And if you think they're just going to hand the reins over to J.K. Dobbins because Ingram's out, you are highly mistaken, sir.
So you think they're going to hand the reins over to the Gus bus?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I do. I'm not saying that's a good idea.
I think you've been driving the Gus bus too long.
It's a short bus, okay?
Oh, okay. three letters, that's all, right? Gus.
Right. AJ Green caught 8 of 11 targets for a season-high 96 yards in Cincinnati's Week 6 loss to the Colts. The primary takeaway here is that the Bengals finally used AJ Green properly, transitioning him into the slot at times and having him use his lengthy frame and reliable hands to move the chains on slant routes rather than forcing him to try and separate downfield, which has been maddening to watch. This is a feat, trying to get separation, that AJ Green has struggled with at this stage of his career. Now, Green's 11 targets led the team, and his 8 for 96 receiving both qualified as season-high marks. Now, assuming Coach Zach Taylor continues using Green this way in Week 7 against Cleveland, AJ Green's floor has just suddenly become reliable? Question mark?
Do you believe that... they're going to actually, like, feature him? Because I don't. I think they said, AJ, you want traded. We would love to trade you. Let's figure out how we can bump your stats up a little bit here, show you off to the rest of the league, and then we'll take a third-round pick for you. You can get your team. We'll be happy.
Gosh, I feel like against Cleveland, if you are desperate for a wide receiver spot or you need somebody to flex in, I think you can do a lot worse than AJ Green. AJ Green hasn't been startable the past, 3 weeks. You just couldn't put him in your starting lineup.
Right. But
I feel like against Cleveland, after seeing this, yeah, maybe you do it.
You mean maybe Cleveland's? Maybe put him in a flex. Maybe you just don't like Cleveland's defense?
I'm not worried about Cleveland's defense. I'm just – AJ Green has just as good of a chance to score, especially with that kind of game. I mean, you're going to be fine. I really think you'll be fine.
Are we going to talk about John Ross?
No, we're not going to.
John Ross wants traded. Everyone wants out of Cincinnati.
You can't blame John Ross for wanting to be traded. He hasn't been used. They gave up on him. And they should have, by the way. Because you got my boy T. Higgy. T. Higgy played more offensive snaps than any Bengals wide receiver in week 6 against the Colts. The rookie caught 6 of 8 targets for a season-high 125 yards against a stout Colts secondary. Okay.
Colts defense is legit.
Right. That's why it's so impressive that both of these dudes did this. Now, yeah. it's been clear for some time that Higgins has passed A.J. Green in the Bengals' pass-catching pecking order. We might see my boy Higgy emerge as the team's number one wideout in the coming weeks if he continues to command high-volume targets.
You don't like Tyler Boyd?
I'm not hating on Tyler Boyd, but, man, it's T. Higgy, baby.
I'm starting to come around on Higgins, which pains me to say.
This wide receiver class that we just got for 2020, I think is really going to go down like in the history books. It's nuts. This is nuts.
Wait until next year. Next year's is better.
It's hard to top this, man. It really is.
Okay, so where's Rager now? Like, is Rager still like this hot shot young rookie like that you want to invest in? Because he's coming back in the next couple weeks.
I haven't tried to get Rager anywhere. I'm not really interested. I think it's the Fulgham show, to be completely honest with you. But I'm not going to hate on anybody for trying to buy low.
You think an undrafted rookie is going to outshine a first-round draft pick?
I think Doug Peterson will do it, yeah. I think he'll make that work. I really do.
Okie dokie.
Dude, you can't tell me Fulgham hasn't looked good. You can't Fulgham tell me
Fulgham has looked good. No, I think Fulgham has looked okay. But I don't think he's going to outshine Jalen Rager. No, I think Jalen Rager is head and shoulders, knees and toes better than Fulgham.
That's a song.
That is. I'm a dad. I sing it.
The Giants designated wide receiver Sterling Shepard to return from injured reserve. Coach Joe Judge has already said Shepard will likely be a game time decision for Thursday's game against the Eagles. A big, big Giants and Eagles show today. Shepard did practice on Tuesday off to a slow start before going down in week 2. Shepard's return would, nevertheless, provide a big boost for the struggling QB Daniel Jones. It does eliminate what little remains of Golden Tate's fantasy value. It's notable. Sterling Shepard has shown flashes, right? I'm trying.
Oh, you know who's calling plays for the Giants, right?
Tell me that.
Clapper.
Yeah. Yeah. Clap on.
How are you not going to use Evan Ingram? He's not using Evan Ingram. You're a moron.
I don't know.
Daniel fumbles. Jones. Butterfingers. It's brutal. If the Giants have the number one pick, they taking Lawrence? I think whoever has the number one pick is taking
Lawrence. You have to at this point. There's some bad QB play happening right now. Bad.
There could be 12 teams that would take Lawrence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of quarterbacks, kind of a onion of a story, a few layers to it. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Dolphins will start first-round rookie Tua in week 8 against the Rams. This decision is so abrupt that I think most analysts –
It just felt weird.
Most analysts are saying that this had to be the blueprint all along. Ryan Fitzpatrick has played well to this point, engineering the Dolphins to a 3-3 record with over 1,600 yards, a 70% completion rate through 6 games. But, we've known this. Tua was always going to be the heir to the throne. He was going to come in at some point. And apparently that was when the Dolphins returned from their bye in week 8.
Did you see the video of him on the 15?
Yeah.
Parents FaceTime. See, like that?
Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick has actually come out and said that he was shocked by the Dolphins' decision to bench him and name Tua the starter for week 8 against the Rams. Now, Fitzpatrick was caught off guard when he was called into Coach Brian Flores' office to learn the news and admitted it, quote-unquote, broke his heart to find out that he's not the starter anymore. He goes on to say, I basically got fired yesterday, and my day-to-day consisted of Zoom meetings, listening to the guy who fired me, and being in a spaced-out room listening to the guy who replaced me, end quote. Sad.
He's a smart guy. Please do not say he's going to get traded to Dallas. Please don't be one of those people. Please don't do that.
Fitzpatrick felt the Dolphins were his team at that time, like right now, and he was playing well. Again, led them to a 3-3 record. Clearly, if this was Miami's plan all along, Fitzpatrick had no idea.
Why is everybody acting like 3-3 is like this great accomplishment?
For the Dolphins,
he's a 500 team. It's a 500 team. What's the rookie going to come in and do worse? You're not winning that division. The Jets are going to be awful. Like, I know, Ryan Fitzpatrick played well. Everybody likes Ryan Fitzpatrick. Super nice guy. Awesome. Maybe sweet he'll get beard. Traded somewhere. Yeah, the beard is nice. But, like, don't like, – he's 500. It's not like they were 6-0 and they're like, oh, my gosh, we're replacing a 6-0 guy.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
He drafted Tua at 3. 103. You're going to play him.
Eh. Just sad to see. When guys are performing so well, it's just hard to like, eh, I don't know. I get it.
Send him somewhere. Send him, if you really like that concern, send him somewhere. But I don't know why Miami would trade him. You have a consummate pro, knows what he's doing, built a relationship with Tua. You saw him cheering him on when he went in the fourth quarter against, what was it, the Chargers?
I don't know.
So, like, keep him. Why? I guess unless he requests a trade, but I don't. Fitzpatrick doesn't make that impression on me that he's one of those guys.
Coach Kyle Shanahan said Raheem Mostert has a high ankle sprain and is likely headed to the injured reserve. With Tevin Coleman still in the IR, the Niners are back to Jerick McKinnon, Jeff Wilson, and Jamichael Hasty in the backfield. Probably.
Yep.
McKinnon played 92% of the snaps the last time both Coleman and Mozart were out. Hasty outcarried Wilson 9-4 recently. Now, Mozart will miss at least 3 weeks on the IR. Jamichael Hasty rushed 9 times for 37 yards in the 49ers week 6 win against the Rams. Hasty, who started the season on the Niners practice squad, emerged as the primary ball carrier after Raheem Mozart left with an ankle injury. Hasty, fun fact, who recorded the best shuttle time, 4.03 seconds, of any back of this year's combine, could be the next in the revolving door of San Francisco running backs. Somebody worth having on your roster or not going to matter?
Yeah, no, he is. He's on a lot of taxi squads of mine. Just because running backs in San Francisco, whoever's the guy, Shanahan gets a guy, they ride him. Like we've seen McKinnon, you've seen Mostert. Mostert came out of nowhere. You've seen Tevin Coleman for a little bit. Like if you're a running back in a Kyle Shanahan system, you put up points. So if Hasty's going to get a part of that backfield, you absolutely should own Hasty. If Gus Edwards were there, who's the Irish jig dancer?
Alex Collins.
If Alex Collins were there, you want to have a piece of Alex Collins? I can't believe we mentioned Alex Collins
at least twice today. What is going on with the show?
If Justin Williams were in the backfield of San Francisco, I would pick up Justin Williams.
Oh, 200 yards all day, baby.
Just telling you, like that's what you do. You pick up running backs that play for Kyle Shanahan.
I have trouble imagining a scenario where you're like willingly starting one of those guys any week. Jerick McKinnon, Hasty, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like you have to be. I think you got
started. You didn't start McKinnon. You weren't you talking to McKinnon 2 weeks ago?
It was a little different.
The Jets back. Oh my gosh, he was good in Minnesota 6 years ago when he didn't tear all 6 of his ACLs.
Dude, Jerick McKinnon has looked good when he's played this year. Don't even.
You just said you can't start him.
I don't think he can right now. No, You got to see what they're going to do. And even then, when they show you what they're going to do, it might be completely different the next week. You can't predict the running back situation.
No, San Fran, no, you absolutely can't. But you know what? If I'm betting on a backfield that's going to put up numbers, I'll take San Francisco. Would you rather have Chase Edmonds or any of the running backs in San Francisco? Pick one on a week-to-week basis.
Give me one of the San Francisco running backs.
See? Exactly.
I hated that.
You probably
not a big McKinnon. Chase Edmonds guy.
He flopped on Monday night. Everyone was expecting a big night, and Drake just destroyed your dreams.
Brandon Cooks caught 9 of 9 targets for 68 yards and a touchdown in the Texans' Week 6 loss to the Titans. Cooks now has 17 catches for 229 yards and 2 touchdowns in 2 games since the Texans fired Bill O'Brien.
Who knew that you traded for a guy that you hate? Like, why would you do that, Bob? You're whatever. Bob. Bill O'Brien, Bob.
Yeah, I get it. The Texans' okay. clear-cut number 2 wideout is finally being treated like it by Deshaun Watson, and boy, it's nice to see. Man, Brandon Cooks.
Romeo Crennel is a Brandon Cooks fan.
Yeah, has to be. I mean, most people that like watch football kind of are. Frank Gore rushed 11 times for 46 yards in the Jets' Week 6 loss to the Dolphins. He added 4 catches for 24 yards and 4 targets in the passing game. Gore's 15 touches easily paced the Le'Veon Bell-less backfield, with LaMichael Perrine seeing 9 touches as the number 2 back. Now, Gore's normal has become 35-55 empty yards on the ground. The Jets host the Bills in Week 7. Are we going to see more Gore or Perrine going forward, Matt?
Oh, who are you going to trust? You going to trust Crazy Eyes? Because according to Crazy Eyes, he wants to get Perrine more involved. Last week's Renegade was Frank Gore. This week's Renegade might be another Jets running back.
Oh, my God.
Might be somebody else. Who knows?
What is going on?
Just telling you.
I got one more story. Okay, sorry. You were.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Let's hear it.
I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I got one more story. It's more of just one of those worthless facts that you're going to hate. The Ravens wide receiver Marquise Brown has the 3rd most air yards in the NFL through 6 weeks. Brown has racked up 674 air yards this season. Only Adam Thielen and Calvin Ridley have more. Now, Brown, who has a 26% target share, is 20th in receiving yards and has just 1 touchdown through 6 games. I only say this because Brown's downfield opportunities should eventually turn into fancy production, right?
You know that he's Antonio Brown's cousin?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They should, in theory, they should. Yes,
Marquise Brown is somebody there. You can get for low, like on the cheap right now.
You could buy cheap, absolutely. You could buy him cheap.
Marquise Brown is somebody everybody should be trying to buy cheap.
Yeah,
that could be a guy that ends up carrying you through playoffs. He's gonna start scoring.
Are you gonna trust him?
Start scoring.
Are you going to trust?
But if you're missing a piece, maybe you need
that's
a guy.
That's the piece you want to get
for a flex play. You're telling me Marquise Brown can't have a huge game 1 week?
Marquise Brown or Le'Veon Bell, flex.
Marquise Brown has the talent and is in the offense that could easily win you a week, 1 week. You don't know when it's coming. You don't know when it's coming, but he could win you one. He could put up 30 points 1 week.
So Le'Veon Bell or Marquise Brown, rest of season, for a flex play.
If there's one, if you had Le'Veon Bell, 100%.
What are you doing?
Le'Veon Bell. I think Le'Veon Bell could end up being like a league winner. Like, if something happens to CEH.
I hate that term in week 6. It's week 6. No one knows who a league winner is here. Chase Claypool could win you a league. You know what? Chase Claypool has only had more than 4 freaking targets in 1 game.
If something were to happen to Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, Le'Veon Bell is untouchable. Untouchable.
If something were to happen to Mark Andrews, you don't think Hollywood Brown becomes untouchable? Like, you started this story by hyping up Hollywood.
I'm not saying that. I'm not changing. Why can't I like both of the players?
You
I can't like both players, Matt. I got to like one player and not the other.
You got to like one more than the other.
I told you I like one more than the other, but I can't like another player a little less. That's against the rules here.
So I'm trying to find somebody.
The Dynasty like, Dads, Matt, plural. It's not the Dynasty Dad Show.
Oh.
Been recognized, son.
You, like, I don't know. I can't even think of another wide receiver.
I'm not going to say that about Travis Fulgham. And I love Travis Fulgham.
Okay, there we go. That's a good one.
Travis Fulgham is my D.D. Westbrook this year.
Oh, gosh. You still. Keelan Cole finally broke out. Had one good game. Marquise Brown or Keelan Cole?
Oh, it's Marquise Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't wait for Travis Fulgham to completely just drop off the face of the earth. It's going to happen because I like him so much. He's on every one of my rosters.
You have a tendency to do that.
I pick a wide receiver that's hot. I love him. And then I squeeze him too hard. It's just like Tommy Boy. When he, oh, I just got my little pet. I just want to squeeze it. Or squeeze it. All right, Matt. With that being said, Wrench on Renegades. Here we go.
I kind of alluded to this earlier. Last week, let's recap. Last week, Frank Gore, 11 rushes, 46 yards, 4 catches, 24 yards. Solid flex play for you. Was owned in less than 50% of leagues. And Travis Fulgham, and you've talked enough about him that I don't have to say anything. Had a great week. So this week, sticking with the running back wide receiver combos, it's just kind of been the thing this year. I'm going back to Gang Green. And LaMichael Perrine is my renegade this week. Last week I said grab old man Gore, and he wasn't terrible. But Adam Gase, crazy eyes, here's a quote, and I imagine he's looking all over the freaking office when he's saying this. We just got to keep him getting more and more carries. Hopefully in the next game we can get the carries the way we want them. So crazy eyes coach speak aside, it sounds like they're going to try to get Perrine more involved. I'll take that chance. He's currently owned in 46% of MFL leagues. I expect in dynasty leagues that's a little higher, but he's out there. You can pick him up. It sounds like that's kind of the plan going forward, that they're going to get Gore and Perrine involved. Going over the wide receiver side, DeMarcus Robinson, Kansas City Chiefs. Robinson went 5 for 69 last week, and he outperformed Mecole Hardman, who put up a big fat zero. He ran a route on 100% of Patrick Mahomes' dropbacks. Like, that's unheard of right now. Hardman only ran 13 routes, and Byron Pringle ran 17 routes. So, with Sammy Watkins out, shocker, he's hurt yet again. DeMarcus Robinson is the wide receiver 2 to have in Kansas City, and he's owned in less than 50% of leagues. Free, easy pickup that you can start in a flex spot.
So much hate on Sammy Watkins. You've hated Watkins for a long time.
I have an autographed card of Sammy Watkins, and I can't tell you how many times I almost just like cut that autograph out of the card because
that'd be a great idea.
He's been a letdown since day one.
Just show me on the doll how Sammy Watkins hurt you. Just point on the doll.
I can't even. I don't know if I've ever owned him anywhere. Like, that's how anti Sammy Watkins. Sorry, I've governed him. I've governed Sammy Watkins, managed, decided if he was in a starting lineup or on a bench.
Thank you. Thank you. Matt, are you willing to go down this journey with me and update everybody on our hot takes?
Oh, these are fun. I think I'm doing okay.
Oh, well, let's talk about
that.
If we
hit 50%, that's good, right?
I think so. So we had 2020 hot takes, and as a brief reminder, we do this every season. We pick some hot takes before the season starts, and then we update everybody where those hot takes stand every other week, so every 2 weeks. And guess what? It's hot take week, bitches. Here we go. I said J.K. Dobbins finishes the season as the running back 3 or worse in Baltimore currently. J.K. Dobbins, the joke is on me. He is the running back 1 in Baltimore by less than 2 points, and he leads the running back 3, who is Gus Edwards, who presumably might get some starting touches soon, leads Gus Edwards by 13. So it's
where's Collins on that list?
These guys are just eating. Stop it. These guys are just like cannibalizing each other and their value.
Yeah, the RB1 there throws the ball sometimes too.
I said Ryan Tannehill was going to finish as a top five quarterback at the time, according to DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
He was ranked as the 22nd quarterback. He is currently QB9. Pretty happy with that one.
Yeah, that's solid.
I also said that no Lions or Washington football team running back finishes at the top 20 at their position. So far, the best running back on those teams is Antonio Gibson. He's RB24. And then I said that, DeAndre Swift is the RB26. So those two guys are right there. They're getting there, and Swift looks hot. So that might not work out.
That's hot.
All right, speaking of Paris, N'Keal Harry sounds kind of French. Outscored Julian Edelman in PPR leagues. In 2020, that was the hot take. Currently, Edelman only has a 13-point lead.
That's gross.
That is gross.
Harry does not look that good.
Edelman doesn't look that good either. I think it's a Cam thing.
Stop it. No, it could be a Cam thing. Let's see what Jared Stidham does.
Jonnu Smith, I said, was going to be a top 8 tight end. He's currently tight end 4. I also said that Rob Gronkowski was going to finish outside the top 25. And, of course, he has a big week last week, so now he's the tight end 19. That's all it took. 1 week. Yeah. That's all it took.
That's how gross tight end is. It's a wasteland. Mm-hmm. You can pick up anybody, and they'll end up finishing as a tight end 1.
Matt, did you want to read your hot takes? Or you want to
I took Todd Gurley as a top 10 running back, was being drafted, I think, in the 20s. Late teens, early 20s, currently running back 13. Thank you for those touchdowns, not the yardage. I said Philip Rivers is going to finish as a QB1. He was currently being drafted as a QB32. No, that is not how many children he has. He is currently quarterback 25. He's been a big letdown.
He looks done.
You had an Antonio Gibson, or you had a Washington football team. I had an Antonio Gibson one, finishes outside the top 36, which means he is not a running back 3 or better. He's currently running back 24. I still have faith in that one. Keenan Allen finishes as a wide receiver 1, again, top 12, wide receiver 26. That was after a bye week. I still have faith. Justin Herbert seems to have a nice connection with Keenan Allen. Totally happy with that one. Dawson Knox, top 12 tight end, currently tight end 57, but as you just said, one big week can get you up there pretty quick. So I may be out on that one. But last but not least, when we did the hot takes, Leonard Fournette had just signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I said Ronald Jones will outscore Leonard Fournette, and there's a 50-point lead, and I'm feeling very confident that that one hits.
In Leonard Fournette's defense, he's injured, but Rojo has looked outstanding this year. The best he's looked his entire pro career. We also went and we picked out our rookie finishers. We both agreed that Joe Burrow was going to be the top rookie quarterback. He's currently quarterback 17 overall, and he is the top rookie quarterback. But we got some competition. Herbert.
I think Herbert's going to take that. And Tua, we still got to see Tua.
Yeah, that's right. For running back, you took Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I took Jonathan Taylor. Currently, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the top rookie running back. He's running back 11, and Jonathan Taylor is running back 15 overall. So two very good rookie running backs there. At wide receiver, I said Justin Jefferson was going to be the top rookie. You said Jalen Reagor. We haven't seen Reagor since week 2, so it's not really fair. But Justin Jefferson is actually the top wide receiver, and he's wide receiver 6 overall, which is
blown up.
At tight end, this doesn't matter, but I said Cole Kmet. You said Adam Trautman. Kmet only has 10 points on the season. Trautman has 5. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No Ozzy.
Oi. That's it, Matt. How you feeling about your hot takes overall?
I like them. At the time, we talked about how this was probably my hottest hot takes ever. And I've got 4 that are within striking distance, so I'm comfortable. I don't feel too bad.
Who are you rooting for in the World Series?
I'm rooting for the Tampa Bay Rays, like 95% of America.
I know. I'm a Sox fan, and I got Mookie.
And Mookie's killing it. And it's like, I don't like the Dodgers.
I'm rooting for the Rays and Clayton Kershaw because Kershaw deserves a ring.
Yeah, for sure. I hope he shakes that.
Yeah. Dude's a Hall of Famer. One of the best left-handers ever.
Easily. 100%.
Talking baseball.
A little bit. It's the end of the show. I can do what I want.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, what are you putting in for Antonio Brown on Fab?
Nothing.
You're not picking him up anywhere?
No, I'll probably do that after we get off there. But, like, I spent all my money on Travis Fulgham, so.
Well, that one's probably more likely to produce for you.
I think so.
Yeah. Everyone's saying Brown could be a league winner, which is stupid. But he's probably the most talented player that's going to be available from here on out.
I agree, Matt. Marquise Brown could absolutely be a league winner. Just want to remind everybody, you can find us on Twitter, at Dynasty Dads. And be sure to check out that viral video that Mr. Matt Renshaw posted. Again, we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And that's the show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.